Turn with me, if you would, to the Epistle Peter, 1 Peter, chapter 3. One of the things that stands out in my mind, in my own life, is when I realized that God had purposes for me to belong to a group of people. I think most of us we're independent enough that we think we don't need anybody. But God has a wonderful plan where he first of all takes us to himself. And I'll just read what I wrote. Once we come to Jesus and we invite him into our hearts and into our lives, we discover something quite alarming. We discover that we're part of a very large family of God, that we're not alone. We're not just doing our own thing, like the Lone Ranger. As you see him, and remember in all the old series, he would ride off and the horse would raise up, and hi-ho, Silver away, and he'd go off by himself. Tonto, I don't know what happened, but anyway, it was always independent. And so we talk about Lone Ranger Christians, where we love the Lord, know the Lord, but we don't belong and not connected in anything to it, something larger. So we may get saved alone. Many a person has been driving along and said, Lord, I give my life to you. Many people, millions probably of people, have come forward in a service and knelt down and given their heart to the Lord. I'm sure that's happened. But one thing that happened is that once we have done that, and we said, now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. What a wonderful thing that is. Jesus and me. Jesus and me. No, he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He'll never turn from me, which is all true. But we soon realize that we're placed by God into God's great family. A family. It's in a way, it almost disappointed me when I was kind of conscious of it, that now I wouldn't be doing my own thing. I would be doing some things that God wants done. I remember 1 John, it says, Beloved, now are we the children of God. Now we're the children of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. So there's this shaping into likeness that the Lord has in store for us, that we are the children of God. I am part of something. I may not want to. I may not even like it. But it's true, nevertheless, that it's part of God's great plan for your spiritual growth and my spiritual growth that we're placed in a family. And that family is for better or for worse, richer or for poorer. Here it is. This is the body of Christ. And this is where he wants me to be. And so 1 Peter chapter 3, there's two verses that I want to zero in on. I'll pick up some others in a little bit here. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and verse 9 says, Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Don't repay evil for evil or revile for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. And if you underline something, if you're an underliner, mark that one down. Bless. On the contrary, bless. For to this you were called. For this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. What am I trying to say here? That we make a commitment to the Lord. I'm committed to Christ. I've given my life to him. And we say, that's wonderful. We're glad that that's happened for you, and that you met the Lord in that personal way. But we also make a commitment to the body of Christ, to the church, as it were, the church of Jesus. And he brings us into that, and then he introduces us to our brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts and grandparents and single people. There's this great family that we're a part of. And it's in that setting with our fellow believers. He tells us how to get along. Because that's the great task. It's not hard to get placed into the body of Jesus. He does that automatically. For by one spirit were you placed into one body. 1 Corinthians 12. And here, then we, but this family, all of a sudden I realized that I have to commit myself to them. And I would ask you to think about something. You may well have committed your life to Christ. Fair enough, right? But the bigger question today is, did you commit yourself to the body of Jesus, to the family of God? Now, that doesn't mean it's an always an easy thing. I'm of the persuasion that it's like any commitment. It's kind of scary that I would say, I don't know if I want to make a commitment to these people. I don't even know if I like them. Wouldn't that be a common thing for some? They come in, look around, and nobody here that I'm interested in. And so we pull away and we show up for meetings time to time, go to a study or sign up for something, but haven't made a commitment to the family of God. And I think there's something really wonderful. I don't know how to put it any other way, and I'm not doing it because of job security. You know, the fall season, speak on commitment, returning back to church. I'm tempted, but I'm not going to go that way. Because there's something better to approach it. That is, some of the richest blessings that we will ever acquire have to do with others that we're placed with. Has there been difficult people? Oh, Lauren Pritchard told me there's difficult people. I forget even now how the equation went there, but some people are difficult. And they're not always the easiest people because they came with warts and bumps and God takes them. And of course, part of us says, what? You're not going to put me in with these people. These are misfits. These are this, these are that, you know, whatever else we come up with. And God says, yes, that's what I want. I want you to be. These are your brothers and sisters. My brothers and sisters? Are you kidding me? What am I going to do with these? Spend the rest of your eternity getting to know the Savior. And you're kind of stunned, eh? I'm kind of staggered, isn't it? To realize that God's got a plan for me which involves other people. Yeah. And it's all part of this great thing that He has designed. That we're, first of all, we're placed into Christ, and then we're placed into His body. And once you get over the shock of it, and to realize that, A, it's never going to be perfect. The experience, you say, well, will I meet my girlfriend there? Will I, is this where I'm going to, how does this work? Well, I don't think it's a matter of us seeing what we can get out of it, but to say, it's the next step. The first step is this one, with my heart to Jesus. The second step is towards my brothers and sisters that I need to get to know. And that is certainly, and we need to get to know. With our fellow believers, to be of one mind, to be harmonious, to have the same purposes, the same goal, to have a compassion for one another. Do you know that if the government took over and they decided to put all Christians in jail, all right, just a hypothetical story, but it put all Christians in jail, you know, we'd all be lumped together here. And same with our brothers and sisters down here at Hillside and other church, we would be in the same thing. That we, too, and all of a sudden realize it doesn't matter about this or this, we are part of the family of God. We belong to the family. And that's our calling. So we have the same purposes, the same goal, the same compassion for one another. And that's the thing that Peter talks about. He says, now there are these traits that you need to exhibit as you live together, getting to know your brothers and sisters and learning to yield to them and learning to surrender yourself to them and them to you so that we can have some of I'll say this, when the church is working the way it's supposed to be working, there's nothing like it on earth. It is the most wonderful, amazing thing of support and care and concern. And these people will be with you in a small group and they'll be with you at your funeral. It's unbelievable, the care and the concern that can be when it's operating right. But if we approach it, say, well, I'll do the way I want to do it. No one's going to tell me who to love and who not to love. And I know that way it will be a very disappointing experience that you have. And you'll find fault with it, and you'll just be discouraged by it, because that's we must die to independence on this one thing that I... And that's why, you remember, when you have communion, the body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. We're part of this mysterious thing that God's put together. And yet, this is his plan for us. And I'm to love on people, not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm part of the body of Christ. That long after I'm not a pastor, I would still have this mandate, you'd still have the mandate to be a great blessing to members of the family. And when somebody comes in that door, you say, there's an opportunity to show love and care and concern and compassion to this person. And you get to find out and say, oh, you're a believer. Yes, I gave my heart to the Lord a month ago or 2 months ago or a year ago. And you say, you want to come and sit with me? And just some tiny little introduction. But wow, that thing becomes, when you want to go for coffee afterwards, and pretty soon there's part of a group, and you're sharing and doing stuff together and hanging out together, and you realize that some of your deepest friends are in the church. They're in the church. That if you had some, if you had to call them up, they would come in a minute. You know, there are people in this church that if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I haven't tested it, at 3 o'clock in the morning, if I phoned and said, I've got some trouble here, could you come over? There would be people who would come right then. Right then they would come and say, what's up? What's happening here? I'm here. Well, you know that the majority of people in a community, they wouldn't know who to call. They wouldn't know who to call. Because they're not connected. And they say, I can't phone that because I don't know them. And so our great task is that we get to know one another in Christ, in the body of Christ, and watch what the Lord will do. Because he will do great things. So we're called to, Peter says, to live as brothers. And I'm sure sisters is included in that. As brothers. We are actually brother lovers. Right, we love the brothers. We're brother lovers. If you meet somebody, oh, this is a brother here. He's from wherever. You shake that person's hand and say, oh, how long have you known the Lord? And see, we build it instantly around a spiritual connection, and we have someone else to get to know, and you come home and say, I met somebody new today, that they're new to the city, and they're new, but they know the Lord. And they're just searching out churches, and they don't know for sure whether they're going to come or not again, but they're new. And I had a chance to encourage them. So, a matter of fact, someone was telling me last week that this visitor came, and somebody says they was been ill or something, and they said, would you like me to pray? Next thing, there's a little prayer huddle going on. And I thought, imagine when that person goes home. He says, I walked in there, a total stranger, and I went home with coffee and 4 people praying for me. Now, that's pretty significant, isn't it? I think it's significant that would happen. It won't happen at Walmart, and they're friendly. But I think I don't think it's in your notes, but John 13:35, Jesus really nails it, and he says, a new commandment I give unto you. A new commandment, that you love one another, so that everyone will know that you are my disciples. We're called to discipleship. We're called to build each other up and encourage each other. So we say, how's so-and-so doing? How's so-and-so doing? Oh, we've got to remember them in prayer. I think they got discouraged. You know, and next thing, God's using you because you're an encourager just by your very nature. And you know there's somebody, as soon as you find out that somebody is in need, see, most of the time we don't know about the need. You know what I'm saying? You don't know for sure, no one told you. But when we hear about it, then we can spring into action and we can do the brother lover thing. We love the brothers. We love them. That we're going to go to heaven with them. If we were put in jail, we'd be put in jail with them. And it could be because they're brothers in Christ. And he says, I give to you that you love one another. And everyone will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And I wrote here, amen, a brother lover. Someone who loves the brothers and the sisters. It's a powerful thing, a wonderful thing. But here's the cincher here. we ask ourselves the question, do I even know my brother? How well do I know my brother? I'm supposed to love him, to love the brothers, love the sisters, but I, you know, in Regina, years ago, we had to have a little rule, because we would say, and from the pulpit, we'd say, turn around, give somebody a hug. The only problem was there were some people that were enjoying that more than they should have. And especially when people, this one guy goes skidding over to this girl so he could be closer to her while we're handing out hugs. And so we had to talk to him and to her. That probably wasn't so, but he's just a lonely person. Just a lonely person. And who needed to be loved, but there's ways that, we've all been hugged in ways that I think it's a little too much. There is not too much of a good thing, right? And so we have to kind of monitor some of these things. But 99% of the time, when people greet you, it's really an affirming thing, right? It's really affirming that you have an opportunity to be a blessing and to get to know them. And here's where I think. I think we have a sin in this church that I'm guilty of, and perhaps you are too. And here it is. I think that we're a friendly church. I hear that. You go on, isn't what you hear, right? I hear that we're a friendly church. But a year later, they still don't have any friends. Still don't have any friends. And somewhere, we drop the ball. Because I get it. I know why. We say, hey, nice to meet you. Oh, you're from Nigeria, or you're from Central America. Just really nice to meet you. Well, here's a few other people, and you meet them, and you get to meet them, but the next week they come and what happened to that friendly person that I thought maybe we were going to be friends or something? And so we look around and we say, So the next week you say, well, I'm going to give it a chance. I'm not going to just spoil it here. So we come back again and people, hey, good to see you. Yeah, how's it going? But nobody brought you home for lunch. Nobody took you out for coffee. They just were friendly. But I don't have any more friends. It's not until somebody says, I have friends, that it really takes on a fresh meaning. You see, I've got friends. I mean, real friends. And so I say, what do we do about that? I think we have to, first of all, it's a consciousness, right? That, remember, it's more than just a handshake. Hello, how are you? It's nice to meet you. Where are you? Oh, this is your son. You get to know that person. If you're able to, some of you are great at this. You'll take down, can I just get your name, and your phone? Can you mind giving me your phone number? And that person give a phone number. And now the next week, they say, hello, Bob. Nice to see you again. I'm glad you came back. Really glad you came back. And so to reach out to that person, spend some time on the patio, right? And of course, the danger of this, and you know how it works, is that we have people that, how would I describe it? They want to be friendly to everybody, but not everybody wants it in return. I said, we got to have a signal. You can't love bomb people. Great to see you, and the person's being hugged and kissed, and it has to be comfortable. It has to be safe. This has to be a safe place for people to really connect. But once it happens, I'm suggesting that one of our prayer requests should be for this fall. What if in all of our prayer meetings, we've got some meetings planned, wouldn't it be something if we prayed, Lord, show us how to build friendships in the body of Christ? That would be a very rich thing. Now, some of you see that our lives are lived in seasons, and Barb, you even talked about that this morning. Is that sometime, maybe right now, this moment with you, that's not going to work because you've taken on that new job, blah, 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 and so on and so forth, right? But somebody over here says, I got some free time right now. I'm going to maybe follow that up and go for coffee or something and be a part of it, include that person in my life. And can you just imagine this? Some new, brand new immigrant comes to Canada and he doesn't know anybody. Nobody doesn't know a single soul. How do you know? Oh, it happens quite often here. So at that moment, imagine if he was befriended in a genuine, not in a proselytizing way, but in a genuine way, say, do you have some time this week? Would you like to get together? Tell me more about your, you know, about where you came from and what's working for you. I think that would be absolutely mind-boggling. They said, I have some friends, and I've only been in Canada for just a few weeks, and I have some friends that showed an interest in my life. Then that would, to me, would be that, behold, the body of Jesus, is it operating? And not just being friendly, again, because Walmart can do that better than we can, but to have genuine friendships that you can look back and say, I have some seniors, I've got some singles in my life, I've got this in my life, I've got those people in my life, I've got them in my life, and I'm really rich, I'm really blessed because I know these people. And you know, and I know some of the, because you're, it's embarrassing to say this to you, but you make this place come alive because of how you approach people. And it's a powerful thing, a wonderful thing. And imagine God using you, A, to make somebody friendly, or to make somebody welcome at church. But what if they gave their life to Jesus? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? Over one handshake, you said, let's have a cup of coffee over here. And as the weeks go on, the person says, you know, I gave my life to Jesus. And Gary will be here in the second service. But John and I met him over in the mall here. And we'd heard that he, you know, he was just, look, he wouldn't mind some friendships. And now, a few weeks ago, he gave his heart to the Lord. He said, "What? I had a good night tonight." I said, oh, well, your night was good? Yeah, he said, I opened my heart to Jesus. And I thought, wow, we're drinking coffee and introducing people to the Lord, and it's just a wonderful thing. That's all I'm saying. It's just a wonderful thing. And imagine if that was you or that was me that had that opportunity to encourage that person to take maybe one step towards Christ. It would be revolutionary, and it would be a very wonderful, powerful thing to do. Enough said about it. But that's the question. How well do I know the brothers and sisters in my church? How well do I know? Now, some, obviously, Valerie has been here for a lot of years. She knows lots of people, at least with her generation. I'm sure she knows scores and scores and scores. But here's the question. Am I tender-hearted to the new brothers and sisters who have come into the faith? See, there is the people we have to, first of all, are frontline people where they've given their heart to the Lord. Maybe they've been baptized, maybe not. But whatever it is, to be tender-hearted, not to be judgmental. Because when people come, they come with a lot of stuff. They're new, right? They're new, but they come with a lot of stuff. And problems galore. They didn't plan it that way. It's just how it was. And if we are judgmental towards somebody, I remember one time, here's the ultimate friendliness. I was at this Bible camp a few weeks ago. In the evening, the speaker was right in the middle of his sermon. I mean, this was classic. I live for moments like this to see this happen. It was so crazy. The speaker was preaching, and out of the clear blue, this lady puts her hands up, and she says, excuse me, I'm wondering if we could take a little break here. I got to go to the washroom, and just take a little break. Shouldn't be too long. The speaker, he's gesturing. Go on, yeah, go. See you when you get back, right? I turned to the person beside me and says, now, you don't see that every day, do you? You don't see that. Now they kind of accommodated her as she slipped out and slipped back in. I'm not doing that here. Just know you know that. Wave at me. You have to keep on waving. Oh. But are we tender-hearted to the new people who've just come maybe recently, and they're not fully sanctified? They're not fully committed. They've got things in their life, as some of you did, and they say things sometimes that are inappropriate, and you wouldn't want it any other way, because if they feel comfortable, right? If people feel comfortable, so our job is to take the new brothers and sisters, make sure that they're connecting well, Because if they aren't, I don't know what that would mean for the rest of us. The good question is, am I patient to the older saints as well? As there's people with lots of problems, other people need more attention than others, and how are we doing on that? How are we loving the way we should be loving? So I thought, here's a question. Have I ever considered what kind of heart I have? Because Peter says, be tender-hearted. Be tender-hearted. So I thought, do I have a tender heart? I know people here in this church are very tender. If you get to know them, you'll realize how amazingly tender they are. They just have tender hearts. And that's the good question. Do I have a tender heart? Because you need one to function in the body of Christ. You have to have a tender heart. Do I have a loving heart? Do I have a person with a loving heart? And if not, perhaps I have a hard heart. It might be that. There's nothing worse than a hard heart, a heart of indifference, a heart that is not open to the Lord and not open to people with problems, because why don't they get rid of their problems? Well, they've got some of the problems are addiction. Some problems are not that, but there's something else. And you have to have a tender heart. Why? To be patient with people, right? We're in the people business. That's what we do. We are in the people business. We got our carpet dirty some time ago, and we didn't know what to do. And Mel said, well, maybe we'll get it clean for starters, and I thought that was a pretty good idea. But you know, somebody else, somebody spilled something on it. They spilled something on it, and I was all upset about it. And he said, don't worry about it. What business are we in? Oh, I said, good one. We're in the people business. Don't worry about the carpet. That's not the business we're in. We're in the people business of loving people, caring for people, reaching out to the new ones, being patient with the older ones, caring for those who have lots of problems, those who are indifferent, those who aren't ready. You know, many people are not ready for a deeper experience. They're just ready to come a certain point, and that's okay, right? Come as close as you can and just be comfortable with that. But to have a tender heart, and I'm going to get us to pray that today, because I think that's one of the secrets when you walk in and say, you know, there seems to be just a lot of real honest to goodness care, and we blow it lots of times. Sure enough, you know, you blow it. I blow it all the time, and you will too. We just won't get it right, and the people didn't feel loved, and they didn't feel cared for, and you ignored them. You didn't mean to, right? But you ignored them and didn't take time for them. So rather than beat ourselves with that, we simply say, Lord, we just submit this to you, that we would be people with tender hearts, and to be courteous, to be humble in spirit. These are the traits that he lists off there. To be humble in spirit. There are churches that I think that could easily be a little arrogant, and we don't want to. That's not what we want. We want to have humble hearts, courteous hearts who are humble in spirit and friendly of mind. Because when you go to visit. Now, this isn't giving you a license to traipsing off in all the churches. But if you did go and visit some of the churches, okay, one, and you went there, I think you would quickly say one thing or another would be, the first thing would be, they seem really friendly. Wouldn't that be? They seem really friendly. And that's good. And I hope that would be said about us, but I think there's a process where that takes place, and we want to be a church that's courteous, friendly of mind, that people say, I really felt, I like that church. It's really real. They're real people. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. I don't think it's in your notes, but here's what he says. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. That's great, eh? Honor everyone. This is a guideline for us. Love the brotherhood, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. Yeah, Yeah, that's the emperor, I guess it must be the prime minister. I'm not sure what it is, but. So what do we do with this? Our motivation, I think, to fulfill these commitments is twofold. Because I like to think that, what about 12 months from now? If we were to say, no, let's lay hold of this. Let's just really pray about this. Lives are in the stake. People's welfare is important. So what would be the motivation? Well, I think it's found in 1 Peter chapter 3. Let me read verse number 9. I'll kick in at verse 9, and I think it changes a little bit in yours there. Do not repay evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life, that's why this is important, because I want to love life. Whoever desires to love life and see good days, you want a great life? You want a fantastic life? This is how you follow it. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. But he says, if you are, just one little part here. Now, who is there to harm you if you're zealous for doing good? Our mandate is to care for people, and out of that will come a life that's really a great life. It'll always, your greatest things in your life will always be about people. It's just that's how it works. Love life and see good days, and be concerned about people. Very powerful. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 to 12 picks up on that. And there's the second thing. So number one motivation is that I want to live long, and I want to be a blessing to as many people as I can be, so that my life is blessed. But the second part is to have a blessed life so the Lord will be open to us. That's what he says. The Lord will be open to your prayers. Do you want to hinder? By the way, that thought is picked up a little bit later in chapter 3 and verse 7. He says, but listen, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And love as your wife as the weaker vessel, as heirs unto life, of the grace of life, so that your prayer will not be hindered. He says, you want your prayer to be hindered? Don't love your wife. Treat her badly, and God says, I'm going to withhold blessings from your life. So, oh, we don't want that. We don't want that. What we want is God's blessing. And God's blessing comes on people that are motivated by these things, to love life and see good, and have the Lord open his life to us, that we're blessed. We're blessed in our going out. We're blessed in our coming in. We are a blessing because we seek to be. And we want the welfare of other people. We don't want to be self-centered. We want to be caring and wherever we can. And it won't be perfect. It'll never be perfect. And the minute you set out to try and love somebody, you end up disappointing them. But you still have to do it. You still have to go forth with that and say, God, here I am. I want to be used of you. So I want you to stand with me, if you would. For the men here, you are brother lovers. We love the brothers. So, I've heard this so many times. Somebody, you overhear it usually in a conversation. Somebody says, oh, so-and-so, I love that brother. How many heard that? I love that brother. There's just some wonderful people in the body of Christ. You just can't help but love. I just love them. I don't even know them. Some I haven't even been, maybe once in their home. But I love them. There's just something about them. I love that brother. Makes me laugh. He's funny. Love that guy. And you may have a few sisters. Say, oh, I love her. She's just the sweetest thing. I just love her. What is that? It's that they sense this thing that I'm talking about. You just like them. You just want to be in your life. They exude this love and care and everything. I love the brothers. And of course, there, you'll come across someone that's not as easy to love. There are irregular people, right? There are people that have been wounded badly, and they don't do a very good job themselves of reaching out. So we have to be patient. If we're going to be lovers of people, we have to overlook the faults of others. We have to just put up with stuff. Because somebody's usually probably put up with you and put up with me. And as we do that, I mean, patient and long-suffering and caring, to see that person has a part in your life. I don't think there's anything greater, dear ones, here today. And you look back and somebody says, you know, you were a real blessing to me. Really, I didn't know I was a blessing. You'll find the same in your life, that you were a blessing to somebody, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Brother Mo, I want you to come up here. I'll tell you why. This brother is a loving man. Everybody who knows him knows that I'm speaking the truth here. I want you to pray over us. I don't have to say any more about you. Everybody knows this. I'm speaking the truth here. I think there are people that when you meet them, you know they're the real thing. This brother is the real thing. Now I've embarrassed him. I think that's on. I'm not sure if that's on or not. But would you pray, what I've been saying, would you pray over us? And I want us to do, just to open our hearts to God. And because we're asking for a revolution of love, a fresh baptism of love. And that's not just friendliness, but it makes friends. And that God, I think God wants you to make a friend. You don't have to make 100 of them. But that you'd have a friend that you say, that person looks forward to coming to church because you're going to be there. You're going to be sitting there saying, oh, I'm good to see you. Yeah, how's your week? I prayed for you. Oh, did you pray? Oh, thanks so much. That kind of stuff. There should be a buzz going on in here. And we say, why? The body of Christ is met. The Spirit of Jesus is in this place. We're now recounting what's happening in people's lives. You know, we pray. So I'll be thinking of you this week. We come, how did the week go? Did it go well? Were you happy? Were you encouraged by what happened? Yes. Oh, it's so wonderful. And then next thing, you're meeting with them. And again, you don't have to worry about somebody following you home. That doesn't happen very often. It happens, but it doesn't happen that often. But what it is this portrayal of love that you could come in here, you will feel it. Everybody will know it. It says, man, I walked in that place. The love of God is in that church. That's what we're praying. This is a supernatural thing. It's not just say, let's be friendlier. We pray that God would use us, and the Spirit of God would flow out from us, and lives would be touched and changed. So, Brother Mo, please lead us. Amen. Open your heart to the Lord.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we are so thankful, oh Lord. So thankful, Lord. We lost for words for how you have transformed us, oh Lord.
Yes.
For what we were, selfish men and women that we were, oh Lord. Mm-hmm. You have changed us, oh Lord.
Yes.
Lord, oh God, so grateful that you've taken us from our own self-centeredness, oh Lord. Yeah. There must be a change in us, oh Lord. If we've come to Christ, oh Lord, we've come for nothing, oh Lord, oh God, that you have changed us from what we were, oh Lord. Lord, we want to have a transformed mind of Christ in us, oh Lord. Mind of Christ in us, oh Lord. We don't want to follow the ways of this world. Lord, we want to think like you, work like you.
Yes, yes.
Lord, oh God, you said there's no greater love than the brother that lay his life for others, oh Lord Jesus. Lord, you have shown us you're the greatest example we have, oh Lord. You have given it all, oh Lord.
Yes.
Lord, oh God, Jesus, help us. Help us to go the way you want us to go, Lord. Mm. You said you are the light of the world, but then you said, now you are the light of the world, oh Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let us be those instruments, those broken vessels, O Lord, that you shine through us, O Lord. We have nothing of ourselves, O Lord, but only you shining through us, O Lord. Lord, O God, how do we touch the world?
Yes.
Just the way you touched us, O Lord, O God. Yes. Help us really understand what it is to be a Christian, O Lord. O Lord, O God, we don't just want to have a label. We want to live like Christ. Yes. We want to be like you, O Lord, O God. We want to be transformed and be shown that Christ lives in us, O Lord, O God.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, for every brother and sister that is here, O Lord, oh, help us. Help us, O God, to glorify your name, live for your will, according to your purpose, O Lord, O God. For Lord, I'll recall the psalm that says, yet you hold me by my right hand yeah. and guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you take me into your glory. For on this earth, there is nothing I desire, O Lord. But on earth, there is nothing I desire. And in heaven, yeah. there is only yeah. you, O Lord, that I want, O Lord. That would be for us, O Lord Jesus. Lord, we really don't know how to do it. Only by your power, yes. by the Holy Spirit in us, O Lord. Yes. Fill us, anoint us, O Lord, yes. O God. Yes. We really can't do it on our own. We want to be transformed. We want to be changed, yes. O Lord. Holy yes. Spirit of living God, fall upon us, yes. on our brothers Hallelujah. And sisters yeah. in here. O yeah. Lord, O God, the new season beginning, O Lord. People out there are perishing. Lord, help us touch the lost. Help us bring them to your glory, O Lord Jesus. Yes. O Lord, O God, you are the Savior of the world. Help us to show it to those around us, O Lord, O God. Lord, I ask your blessing upon my brothers and sisters. Maybe we go on stronger in the power of Holy Spirit yeah, in the most man, O Lord. Yes. And glorify your name, O Lord. Take steps for you and for your glory. In your precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, we're going to take a break here. And out here is the coffee, and we hope you're able to join us for a few minutes anyway, and thanks for being here this morning. If you have any questions, phone the office this week. They'll help you for sure. Thank you.